This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your approachable dude and mud-made monster of music, news, and criticism. It's me, your host, John Caramonica.
The game's f***ed up, cause beats is banging, your hooks did it. The lyric pinning equal to Trump's winning. The bigger question is how the Russians did it. It was written like Nas, but it came from Quentin. At the mercy of a game where the codes is missing. When the CEO's blinded by the glow is different. Believe in myself and the Coles and Kendricks. Let the sock puppets play in they roles and gimmicks. Remember Will Smith won the first Grammy? And they ain't even recognize Hov until Annie. So I don't tap dance for the crackers and sing Mammy. Cause I'm posed to juggle these flows and nose candy. Yeah, Ferrari my 40th, blew the candles out. Tom Brady, I had to scramble out. They be riding these waves, I pulled my sandals out. Hefe Latin my Grammy, I went the Spanish route. Oh, now it's okay to kill baby. Looked at me crazy like I really killed a baby. Salute Ross, cause the message was pure. He see what I see when you see Wayne on tour. Flash without the fire.
Oh, it's a loose week. Oh, it's a lot going on right now. It's Wednesday, it's 7 p.m. I'm here. Joe Coscarelli's here.
7 p.m. in Times Square.
Woof, woof. It's track 9 on More Life, I think. Karen Gans, Gans on the track, is here, but not on the mic, on the boards. Karen is guest producing today because we had to rush a podcast out because this week has been wild. The last 5 days have been very, very roller coastery. And to be honest, by the time you listen to this, who knows what will have happened in the coming couple of days.
Can't tell if we'll be at the top of the roller coaster or at the bottom.
Yeah, what is the thing that's like the, it's like an orb and it just shoots you around?
That's the ride we're on.
We're in that thing. Whatever, the Orbitron. Yeah. We're in that. So we were listening as we came in to Infrared from the Pusha T album / EP / album Daytona, which came out last Friday. And we were listening to the part where Pusha takes it to Drake. I'll repeat what he said in case it has not stuck its way in your brain. The lyric penning equal the Trump's winning, which is to say it's false. It's fake. It's fake news. The bigger question is how the Russians did it, which says Pusha subscribed to Foreign Policy magazine. It was written like Nas, who is a well-known rapper, but it came from Quentin. Woo! Quentin Miller, former Publix employee.
Yes, Publix, not Kroger, which is honestly an offensive mistake because
Publix is lit.
So much better Publix than is lit. Kroger, and anyone can at me on that. I will take that to the mat. I will record my own Duppy freestyle.
Wow.
In favor of Publix.
I want to say that I was in Savannah, Georgia once in need of a cake, and I went to Publix and got a fire cake.
They got it done.
Fire.
Yeah.
It may not be like Wegmans level, but like it's popping.
Yeah. Publix.
Shouts to Publix.
Quinn Miller, employee of the month.
Shouts to everyone I've ever loved at a Publix. So, Joe, what's going on here? Why are we talking about Quentin Miller in the year of our Lord 2018?
It's a great question. You know, we're rehashing. We're doing a little TBT.
It's true. It's extremely TBT.
A beef that we already got through.
I thought it was done.
I thought we were on the verge of Meek and Drake working together.
Yes.
Sometime this month. Could still happen. This sort of throws a wrench in the machine.
What then? Now it's like, what would Meek do?
Yeah, would Meek do? Quentin Miller, of course, a former collaborator of Drake's, a young man based in Atlanta, Georgia, affiliate of DJ Drama, who back in the, if you're reading this, it's too late era, was tossing around some ideas.
Shouts to Jim Joe.
With Drake. He was, you know, if you do the deep dive on YouTube, you can hear some so-called reference tracks.
And those tracks were released or leaked to Funkmaster Flex, who took a great amount of pleasure in playing them.
Yep.
And it's worth saying and emphasizing those reference tracks are Quentin Miller delivering versions of maybe three different Drake songs.
Yep.
We don't know if he wrote everything that he delivered. We don't know if it's some combination of what he wrote and what Drake wrote. We don't know if it was him just covering Drake.
Yeah, they were kicking some stuff back and forth. They were running through the six with their woes.
Mm-hmm.
They were working on some melodic ideas, some flows. I think, you know, if you look back at the Drake discography, if you're reading this, was really a time of experimentation. I think it's notable that he was calling it a mixtape. He was obviously trying to find what his new sound would be, and he was working with people. There are other kids that got signed off of working on If You're Reading This. If you think of like Amir Obi, someone like that who has songwriting credits on that Drake mixtape as well. But of course, this all came to a head because Drake
didn't tweet Meek's album.
Didn't tweet Meek's album.
Can I just also say, I also did not tweet Meek's album?
Yeah.
Did you tweet Meek's album?
But you didn't sell Meek a Ghost Ran verse.
I guess I didn't.
So,
fair point.
Rico is a song that, you know, is produced by one of Drake's producers, featuring a Drake verse and a Drake hook. His spirit did it. That was worked on by Quentin Miller. This, again.
Allegedly.
We were litigated all of this a couple years ago, but Push is not done because.
Push and Drake.
They go
and
back.
And by extension, Push and Wayne.
Yep.
And Baby.
Yep.
This is something that has been active.
Bad blood.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
Who was it that tweeted that Push and Wayne have been beefing for a decade over Bape hoodies?
Yeah, yeah, that is facts.
Do you own any Bape hoodies?
I own zero Bape, I'm proud to say.
Bape sneakers.
Yeah, I heard you wore them to the Christmas party one year.
I was stunting. I stunted. Were you not there that year?
I don't remember.
That was the year we had Chick-fil-A.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was out of town. I was there. Karen was there.
Karen, was I stunting?
A little bit.
Thank you.
just a quick background. Wayne wore Bape on a magazine cover.
Vibe cover. A horrible, one of the true classic, iconic, terrible Bape hoodies.
Yeah. Clips and Pharrell felt a way about it. They felt like they originated the Bape trend in rap. Mr. Me Too is a big
Pharrell
clip song.
Of course, with Pharrell and Nigo, different brothers from another mother. Right. Pharrell got Nigo on speed dial.
Yeah. Maybe Mr. Me Too is about Wayne.
Did Wayne do a record with Teriyaki Boys? I don't know. Actually, maybe he did.
Pusha T has had a lot of feelings about
the
business relationship between Lil Wayne, Birdman, Baby, and Drake, and who's getting paid off of what, and who's signed to another man, who's signed to another man. He's been throwing shots. Remember Dreams Money Can Buy, the Drake Lucy with the Jai Paul sample?
Oh, yeah.
That was also used by Beyonce.
Yep.
Then Push did a little freestyle over that. So basically, there's history here. There's baggage. There's bad blood. Crucially,
it's not mad love.
Crucially, what there's never been is there's never been a Pusha T album.
There's never been a Pusha T Taylor Swift diss.
That's true. Yet.
Taylor Swift, the real Pusha T.
There's never been a Pusha T album coming out amid a Drake album and a Kanye album. And I think the confluence of these three album cycles really explains why we're having this,
and it also
at
makes,
this exact moment.
And it also makes me wonder what Push and Ye are talking about in the studio.
Right.
Look, to put this on a record that Ye produced.
Yep.
Entirely, but you mentioned
Pusha T's Daytona.
It implies that Ye co-signs.
Yes, right? It implies that Kanye West knew that Pusha T was going to come for Drake, his longtime enemy, but Kanye's longtime frenemy.
Right,
and that he allowed him to
real creative diss. Kin Kanye and Drake. First was father son, then brothers, then something more nebulous.
Right, rivals,
potential album makers.
Yeah, Calabasas Boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've made songs together. Most recently, Glow from More Life seemingly came out of those sessions, which might have been a sort of, you know, Kanye was so mad at Jay that he needed to do a Watch the Throne with someone else. It never came out. Who knows if we'll ever hear these now, because Drake had some words for Mr. West.
So, yeah. So Push drops Infrared late Thursday night,
yes,
which is to say Thursday evening in the West Coast. By midday Friday or by evening Friday, Drake is in his feelings. Let's listen to a whole bunch of Duppy freestyle.
So if you rebuke me for working with someone else on a couple of V's, what are you really thinking of again that's making your beats? I've done things for him I thought that he never would need. Father had to stretch his hands out and get it from me. I pop style for 30 hours then let him repeat. Now you popping up with the jokes, I'm dead, I'm asleep. I just left from over by y'all putting pen to the sheets. Tired of sitting quiet and helping my enemies eat. Keep getting temperature checks, they know that my head overheats. Don't know why the fuck you niggas listen to Denim and Steve. Must have had your infrared wrong, now your head in a beam. Y'all are the spitting image of whatever jealousy breeds. Don't push me when I'm in album mode. You're not even top five as far as your label talent goes. You send shots, well, I gotta challenge those. But I bring calicos to the Alamo. I could never have a Virgil in my circle and hold him back because he makes me nervous. I want to see my brothers flourish to their higher purpose. It's leeches and serpents. I think it's good that now the teachers are learning. Yeah, your brother said it was your cousin and him and you. So you don't rap what you did, you just rap what you knew. Don't be ashamed, there's plenty niggas that do what you do. There's no malice in your heart, you an approachable dude. Man, you might have sold a college kids for Nike and Mercedes, but you act like you sold drugs for Escobar in the 80s. I had a microphone of yours, but then the signature faded. I think that pretty much resembles what's been happening lately. Please believe your demise will be televised. Yeah. And as for Q, man, I changed his life a couple times. Wiggins was at Kroger working double time. Y'all acting
okay.
Like the boy,
this song makes me sad. This song makes me sad. I want to say a couple of lines. I want to tell you how I feel when I say them.
Yep.
And this is Drake. So Push, now just for clarity, Push insulted Drake. And what does Drake do? Drake comes back for Ye.
To be fair, Push also insulted Wayne and Baby, who maybe have a similar relationship to Drake.
Maybe, but they are not Ye on that song. Push. They are not on any song.
True.
So Drake says, quoth Drake, I've done things for him I thought he never would need. Just even saying that word never right now, it's like, I feel like the back of my throat catching up. Father had to stretch his hands out and get it for me. Do we have Kleenex here?
Are we snapping? Or are you doing spoken word?
Oh my God. I want to clean. We don't have water. We don't have Kleenex. Anything I need to get through this emotionally, we don't have. This is what happened when you're improv a podcast. Yeah, we don't have all the perks. Where's my writer? Yo, I'm gonna have to talk to the production team about my writer.
Yep.
So anyway, this is sad, and these are two of my favorites saying really scathing things
about one another. Yeah. Well, three of my favorites.
Yeah.
I don't have favorites because I'm a reporter.
That's
a critic,
right.
But
no, also because you're a savage.
So this is Drake implying that Push can't be mad at him for using co-writers because his boss, aka Kanye West,
who produced that song,
is a known user of co-writers. Drake is implying that not only did he write 30 Hours and
Pop Style,
maybe some of Father Stretch My Hands. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on here. This is an under sort of focused on part in Duppy, I think, also is that Drake implies that not only did he write for Kanye on his last album, but he seemed to have been in Montana for these sessions when he says, I just left from over by y'all putting pen to the sheets.
Yes.
And
correct.
I think Drake's official photographer.
Check the flight logs.
Yeah, Drake's official photographer had been gramming. Shout out to Theo.
Yeah, we see you.
Had been gramming from the mountains. So Drake may have been at the very sessions, maybe in another room, mm-hmm. where Pusha was recording these disses about him. So he did not take kindly to being both a rival and a collaborator of good music.
Shout out to Tremaine, though.
But he had lines for Push, too.
Yeah.
Later in the song.
So
where do you think he landed once on Pusha T?
Okay. It's a line that I like, even though I don't like it rhythmically or aesthetically. I like it conceptually, which is, you might have sold to college kids for Nikes and Mercedes, but you act like you work for Escobar in the 80s.
Yep.
I don't like that as a bar,
yep.
but I like it as an idea.
Right.
And obviously, if you're just coming to this party, what Pusha T excels at are, as I said in my piece today, drug dealing demimond reps.
Right.
There is almost no one in hip hop who is more acutely attuned to the kind of micro things that happen in that space than Push and, in the past, his brother Malice, who has now found God and is now no malice, which Drake alludes to.
I see. I think that's the line, right?
No malice in your
no
heart.
No malice in your
approachable
heart.
Dude.
Approachable dude.
The other line, the other line that is rough. Your brother said it was your cousin, then him, then you.
Yeah.
So you don't rap what you did. You just rap what you knew.
And now there's a couple of things I want to unpack here. One is that this is a little bit of an allusion to Jay and Nas, right? You didn't do it. You witnessed it from your folks pad, scribbled in your notepad, right? Tech on the dresser.
Sure.
That's him saying, you know, you act like you did these things. But
you
really
act like you're Jay, but really you're Nas.
Right.
Speaking of it was written.
Yes. Also, the Escobar line goes back to, I think, the thing that rekindled this beef in the present day, which is Drake Lucy, largely forgotten, Two Birds, One Stone, in which he came for Kid Cudi, a little bit for Kanye after Kanye's onstage rants, and
we should listen to Two Birds, One Stone to that part.
Right, and he's basically, I think the Escobar line is like basically a rewrite of one he has on here where he says, made a few chops, now you think you're Chapo, which... You know, he's been workshopping this Pusha T, you're not a real drug dealer bit for more than a year.
Which, to be fair, I mean, it's the only thing you can go at Pusha T about because it's the only thing Pusha T really raps about.
Right.
And I say that with affection. Like, you know, Pusha's one of my favorite rappers, but it is, I said this in my piece, it's like he's painting the same canvas over and over again, which is like slightly different paints.
Yeah.
And the details are interesting, but the substance is not that different. Yeah.
Should we rock with Two Birds, One Stone?
Yeah, we should definitely.
More time with family and friends, more life, more time to get it right. It's only me, but I'm seeing four shadows in the light. My demons visit me every night. To the Most High, I'm forever indebted. I know I gotta pay something. I know that day's coming. I put it all in the music because if I don't say it here, then I won't say nothing. Can feel my hand getting tired from holding the grudges. Two birds, one stone, my aim is amazing. I need to start losing my, this shit on music ends as hating. Too reserved, like I called a hand for me and my lady. Free C5, how the fuck we got the boss waiting? Ever since the blue basement, I found God and I lost patience. Between rocks and hard places of all places. Spotted everywhere like Dalmatian. Cops snoop around now cause all of my dogs famous. Please welcome to October Fall, baby. Von Road Academy, star player. My mind's not all there. Used to carry a lot of dead weight like a pallbearer. People too scared to tell the truth, so it's all dares. Counted, it's all there and we all square. Quick money, I'm in and out. My dad used to...
So towards the end of Duffy Freestyle, This is where I think the real problem is. I think if Drake had gone 2 minutes into Duppy Freestyle and then said, I'm good, that might be the end of it. But we get towards the end and a name comes up. And that name is Virginia Williams.
All right.
And I'll be honest, I had to Google it.
Yep.
And come to find out Virginia Williams is Pusha T's fiance.
Right.
That wasn't going to end well.
So this is my thing with this line. I've seen a lot of people express the emotion that you are, which is that a fiance in some way is off limits, and that mentioning her name then opens up a whole other door.
For the record, I don't think it's off limits. I just knew that when I heard that and Googled that, I was like, oh, this is a problem.
It's very controlled in that he doesn't say, he's using it as a pun, right? He says, if you keep saying my name, I'm going to let it ring on you, engagement. Like Virginia,
right. He's not taking a shot at her. No, he just uses her as a reference.
He's basically
point.
Saying, I know that you have a person in your life that you care about.
And also Push is not very like open about
his personal life. He's never been a celebrity.
Not in a real way.
No.
If Virginia, you think Virginia Williams is who Runaway is about?
I mean, I haven't gone that deep, but presumably they've been together a long time. Right?
If Runaway is about her,
yeah,
girl, I'm sorry.
Yeah, one of the great Pusha verses of all time,
God.
But not the man.
Not necessarily one you want written about you.
Yeah. But I think that sort of that feeds into what I think this whole song is for Drake, which is his mood is a little bit exasperated. He doesn't, he's doing this deep sigh. He's saying, are we really going back here? Are you really going to make me do this to you? He's not angry. He's disappointed.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I don't want to short sell the point that Drake wants all the smoke.
Of course, of
course. He wants all the smoke.
But I...
No, but that's important because you don't necessarily... Look, independent of the Meek Mill situation, yeah. Or I would say prior to the Meek Mill situation, yeah. You would not have said Drake is a guy who wants all the smoke.
Right.
You would have said Drake has done an admirable job of basically pachinkoing his way to the top of hip-hop, yeah, while avoiding the smoke.
Yeah. Diss me and you'll never hear a reply,
exactly,
for it. Used to be his MO.
Right. And then the Meek thing happens and he wins. And on the one hand, you're like, well, he deserved to win. On the other hand, you're like, that could have probably gone like a little bit left.
Yeah,
at
he
any
almost
point.
Lost.
It could have gone another way with maybe a different adversary.
Yep.
So this is a perfect moment where he could have been like, you know what? I'm literally the king. I'm over this. Push, you can say my name 100 times. I'm not even going to acknowledge you. But Drake wants all the smoke.
He is so gassed up right now. Think about the songs that he's put out in 2018.
Look Alive, Look Alive.
I mean, Look Alive. He handed a top five hit to
a guy from Memphis with like 7 YouTube videos.
Right, like a nobody in Blockboy JB, a very talented nobody, a very good dancing nobody, but he's basically just handing out hits. Lil Baby, Yes Indeed, is now a top 10 song in the United States.
God's wah, Plan. Wah, wah.
God's Plan was a number one song, replaced by another Drake song, Nice For What. He's riding so high, and as you say, the Meek beef earned him a sort of respect that he'd avoided and never had. And he sort of comes back to it on, mm-hmm, I'm Upset, which is the other new song he released, yep, this weekend. And he says something like, why do you keep shooting when they're already dead? And he's like, that's the only way I get respect. So he's basically, he's learned this lesson, which is, I can be tough. I can, you know, you
right,
you coined this tough Drake phase that we've been in arguably for the last,
yeah, it's become
five
the
years,
default Drake phase, which, you know, at the time it was not.
Yeah, but was he prepared for what Push had next?
Well, no, but let's remind people how he ended Duppy Freestyle, okay, yeah, which is
where does he come?
Tell ye we got an invoice coming for you. We just sold another 20 for you. So it's important to remember Drake did this on Push's actual release date.
Yep.
Like, if you think of releases, they come out at midnight.
Yep.
So technically they're coming out on Thursday, not Friday,
yeah,
in a lot of the country. So Drake, on Friday, which is Push's actual release date, this is what Drake did to Push. And then they actually drafted up an invoice,
right,
including Stephen Victor's email address.
Right. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Stephen.
Stephen Victor, Push's manager,
and
Good Music.
Head of A&R, Def Jam now.
A&R,
yeah. So yeah, so he caught a stray on this. I was shouting out Tremaine earlier, who's in the Ye camp. He caught a stray.
Why do you listen to Denim or Steve?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, Drake says he's got an invoice and then goes and actually makes the invoice and puts it on Instagram.
Well, so Drake is really the one.
Can someone make me a mug with the invoice?
With the invoice.
Someone, yeah, the Pizza Slime Kids, put it, yeah, on a t-shirt, but I don't want a t-shirt. Yeah. I want it on a mug.
I think it's crucial, and we're going to come back to this when we get to Push's response, but Drake is the one who really made memes a part of hip-hop beef.
Yep.
They were always in the DNA of it, right? Summer Jam screen.
Mm-hmm. Right, but that's pre-meme.
Jay showing Prodigy in a ballet costume, yep, is basically a proto-meme.
Yep.
But Drake is the one who, after Meek and OVO Fest and Back to Back,
made it the lingua franca,
yes,
of rap beef.
And I think that has come back today, at least, to bite him in the ass.
It has.
But we'll get there.
Well, before we even play the story of Adidon, should we say what the album cover is or the artwork?
Sure, let's start there.
I didn't know if this was real.
Nobody did. Push had to qualify it on his Twitter.
I found account. A Reddit thread about it, an, yep, old Reddit thread.
I have some intel on it.
Yeah,
too.
Okay.
I can get there.
So it is a photo of Drake, head tilted to the side, wearing a lime green t-shirt and a lime green hoodie, face painted black. This is not good.
Pure minstrel costuming.
This is bad. And there's no, I don't even want to sound a little lighthearted about it. It's just, there's nothing good about this.
Really?
You really think so?
I think.
Are you prepared to defend this?
I'm prepared to defend it. I'm going to say, all right. I'm not prepared to defend anyone in blackface. Drake,
okay,
of course, biracial.
Yes. This is a photo shoot from a few years ago.
A long time
early
ago.
Early Drake,
yeah,
era. It, pre-Drake? Like still Degrassi Drake?
Unclear, but right around the end of Degrassi, the end of Jimmy, and the beginning of Aubrey Drake.
Grant. The photographer said on Instagram that the concept was Drake's.
Yep.
The shot that Push uses is the worst. I've seen two now. It's right. The worst of the two.
Yes. So
speak your piece, Joe. Right.
So here's the background info that I was able to gather today, you know, reading blogs, comments. I've reached out to the photographer, haven't heard back. David Leyes, hit me up.
DM us.
So Drake in this photo is wearing Toronto streetwear brand called Two Black Guys. That's 2TOO. So the collection that he's modeling from is a Jim Crow collection. So the image they're using is the Blackbird, you know, a symbol of sort of minstrelsy and Jim Crow South. And if you see both of the blackface photos, in one, Drake is smiling big, and in the other, he's looking dour and serious.
It's black and white. This one's color.
One's in color, one's in black and white. So the photographer in his Instagram comments said that the shoot was Drake's idea. It's unclear what exactly it was for, but he expressed that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Drake was attempting to illustrate the effed up world that he lives in and presumably the expectations of black men. So if you want to have the hottest take on this, you could say that Drake did the This Is America video 10 years ago. But
that take is extremely hot.
That take is extremely hot.
That take is lava flow in Kailua.
I will say, you know, barring any more information about these photos, taken out of context, when you see them on a Twitter feed, when you see them as SoundCloud,
it's bad news.
They're extremely jarring, and you don't want to see anyone ever dressed in like Drake is dressed in blackface in these photos. So off the bat,
hot pitch. Did the internet and social media kill conceptual art?
Right. Okay. So this was just as a sort of
it could have just been
taste.
This.
Yes.
If there was no song.
Yes.
If it was just this.
Yes.
That would have been damaging.
This is Prodigy and Ballet Slippers.
Yes.
So as we're speaking about this, I received an email from Adrian Achensen. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. The founder of Two Black Guys, this streetwear campaign. I'm told from Adrian, the photo in question was not from a Two Black Guys photo shoot. However, it did feature clothing from Two Black Guys' Jim Crow Couture House of Crow collection, which was released in 2008. The collection featured several graphics that highlighted the painful and dangerous period of the Jim Crow era. Although this was not an image from any of our photo shoots, we feel that Drake, who is a longtime friend of the brand, was brilliantly illustrating the hypocrisy of the Jim Crow era. The subtleties of Drake, a young black man, mimicking how white men used to mimic and dehumanize black people, may be lost in a rap battle, but we should not be distracted from the issues that are still affecting our communities. So these guys from Toronto are on Drake's side.
And
no
also, it's
there,
just, you but, know, just for a tiny bit of extra historical context, without getting too deep into minstrelsy, obviously, blackface minstrelsy was extremely common in the 1800s and the early part of the 20th century, often by white performers, but also black performers would don blackface.
What the American Studies
take.
There we go. Yeah, American Studies.
Shouts to Eric Lott and all my ex-PhD homies. But it was not the exclusive preserve of white performers. Right. It meant different things, obviously, when white performers did it, but also black performers did it. Right.
Now, of course, none of the nuance or context of this is really relevant to rap beef.
I do not think that anyone on my Instagram feed is talking about that. Right.
But so let's get back into.
So then, let's listen to. So, anyways, that's the photo. Let's listen to the story of Adi Don.
Drug dealing aside, goose writing aside, let's have a heart to heart about your pride. Even though you're multi, I see that your soul don't look alive. The M's count different when baby divides the pie. Wait, let's examine why your music for the past few years been angry and full of lies. I started at the home front, I'm on one. Dennis Graham, stay off the gram, I'm on one. You mention wedding ring like it's a bad thing. Your father walked away at five, hell of a dad thing. Marriage is something that Sandy never had, Drake. How you a winner, but she keep coming in last place. Monkey suit, Dennis, you parade him. A Steve Harvey suit, made him. Confused, always felt you weren't black enough. Afraid to grow it cause your fro wouldn't nap enough.
since you name drop my fiance. Let them know who you chose as your Beyonce. Sophie knows better as your baby mother. Cleaned her up for IG, but the stench is on her. A baby's involved, it's deeper than rap. We talking character, let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child, let that boy come home. Deadbeat motherfucker, I'm playing Border Patrol. Ooh! Adonis is your son, and he deserves more than an Adidas press run. That's real. Love that baby, respect that girl. Forget she's a porn star, let her be your world. Yeah. How dare you put yay in my verses? I'm selfish, I want all of the curses. I'm pre-booking the churches, me versus three hearses. If we all go to hell, it'll be worth it. Already aligned with the greats. And on that same note, the only ones I chase are two ghosts. Still giving you classics, that's the only thing that dates me. OVO 40, hunched over like he 80. Tick, tick, tick. How much time he got, that man is sick, sick, sick. I got the devil flow hooking. Sick, sick, sick. Surgical summer with it. Snip, snip, snip.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Hi, this is Eric Kim with New York Times Cooking. As a recipe developer, I spend a lot of my time trying to come up with dishes that are quick, easy, but also very special. For me, that means dishes like gochugaru salmon. It's a crispy salmon fillet with a salty, sweet glaze that bubbles up and candies. I love cooking this because it only takes 20 minutes. I developed this recipe when I was down in Georgia with my family. It stars a Korean red pepper powder called gochugaru. I love the way it blooms in the maple syrup and the rice vinegar. If you don't have gochugaru, you should totally get some. It's super versatile. It's not just that it brings heat, but fruity sweetness as well. You can get this recipe and so many more ideas on New York Times Cooking. Visit nytcooking.com to get inspired.
Okay, so the story of Idon came out yesterday, and when it came out, I was already kind of mid-flow writing about Daytona, which I had not written about over the weekend.
Yesterday being Tuesday.
Yesterday was Tuesday, right. And so I'd been thinking a lot about Pusha's approach as a rapper and what he does and what his sort of actual skill set is. It's one thing to be like, he's a great technician, which I think he is a really great technician. But I was thinking a lot about his posturing and how much of Daytona is actually kind of like
finger waggy.
Yeah. And that's not always been what Pusha's, but a lot of times Pusha will tell you the dark story and the lesson is implied. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the teaching part on Daytona is maybe a little bit more pointed. But he's not, it's not always with targets. I think he just fancies himself. He's 41,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Shouts to being 41. I'm 42. So salute for being a year younger than me. But I think he's at that place in his career where he just wants to declaim.
He's an elder.
Yes. And he wants to own that. But I was really struck how on the album that is his mode, but it wasn't, apart from the Drake shots and maybe the Stray Baby shot or whatever, it's not really, he's not really like being like you and you.
Right.
And you.
Because he also, as casual president of Good Music, and he's adamant that he's also in favor of the new generation. He doesn't want to blame the SoundCloud rappers. He says, you know, I'm too
rare.
They
signed designer.
Right. I'm too rare with all this pink hair or whatever. But he also, you know, in his interview with Craig Jenkins at Vulture, said specifically, I don't hate those guys. You know, I'm just different.
Of course. Extremely different.
So he's trying to walk this line between being a little scoldy toward to the younger generation while also not writing it off entirely.
Yeah.
Because so, that's a path to irrelevance.
A little behind the music on this, I was originally planning on doing a double review of the Pusha record with the Playboi Carti record.
Which would be instructive in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But I ended up not doing it, which turned out to be a relief when Pusha dropped this 3 minutes of absolute mayhem and murder yesterday evening. So this is a very wounding song. I was very struck how all of the tools that Pusha used on Daytona to be a teacher and a lecturer were how easily applied they were when there was an actual target on someone's head. This is a mean song. I wouldn't even say it's spiteful. It's just mean.
Mm-hmm.
There are shots at Drake's father, sort of sidelong at
deadbeat dad.
Yeah, and sidelong at his mom. And, yep.
Mentions every family member.
Yeah. Shots at Drake's producer, 40, who has multiple sclerosis, and Pusha says, sick, 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 which is not nice.
And then he says, how long, much longer is he going to be alive? Tick, tick, tick. He says he's bent over like he's 80. It's really...
It's dark.
Let me just go ahead and get in one prediction here, which is that Drake is going to talk about how 40 is his brother and Pusha lost his brother. That's going to be in whatever Drake's response. This is just my
I thought guess. What you were going to say, because my response is that the cover of Drake's album is going to be him holding his baby.
Oh, wow. That's a great prediction too. We could do a few more of these.
I'm putting that out there now. Drake's bringing out the baby.
So allegedly, rewind. Is this the biggest bombshell?
Well, not if you follow Bossip.
Or TMZ.
Right.
But for a lot of people, this seemed to be new. A lot of people are crediting Push as an investigative reporter.
That's true. I got a text about that today.
Yeah. So, you know, I've heard Pulitzer. I've heard,
Pulitzer Push.
I've heard put him as, you know, get him on the special counsel, you know. But in reality, Push is just close reading the blogs. So do you want to break down the paternity situation?
Yeah. So Drake is occasionally photographed with women.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he?
It's a true thing.
Pretty rarely, though.
But occasionally, that's why I say occasionally. Yeah, yeah. It's not often. Yeah. You know,
sometimes Drake walks near a woman.
Yes. And there were some photos, I think, from Dubai, maybe
Amsterdam or the original photos.
Yeah. Oh, was it
January 2017?
I thought it was February. Okay. Yes. There are photos from many locales around the world of Drake with a woman named Sophie Brousseau, who I believe maybe is a pornographic actress.
Is that's the house style? Stephanie Clifford's AKA.
I don't know what
Stormy
her
Daniels.
I don't know what her AKA a is. Pornographic. I'm unfamiliar with her oof.
Yeah, same.
But allegedly that is what she does for work. And also allegedly, if you follow the gossips, the deep gossips, and if you follow Pusha T, she is the mother of Drake's child, if you believe that.
Right.
Now, in my mind, the meanest line out of many, many, many mean lines on this song.
Meaner than the 40 lines?
Maybe.
The death of his, the looming death of his best friend and closest collaborator.
Okay, the one that I think Pusha believes is meaner, because I think 40 is just collateral damage here. Right. Since you name drop my fiance, let him know who you chose as your Beyonce. First of all, that's not very feminist.
No, not at all.
So we should just say that off rip.
I've seen some people chime in that why do women always have to be the ones cashing the shots on
diss
tracks, which, you know, it's true.
But this is what...
Sex work is work.
This is a mean line. Jay-Z and Beyonce, obviously, hip-hop's POTUS and FLOTUS.
Yep.
And, you know, Push is attempting to impugn Drake's good name.
Yeah.
Using this.
You are hiding a child.
And you are also revisiting the sins of your father.
Right.
Which, if true, big.
Well, all right. Here's where I'm not in the business of fact checking rap beef, because Rockefeller, believe it or not, did not die of AIDS, despite what Ether might have you believe. I don't think fact checking rap beef is fun, and I see people do it very strategically. Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes there's rules, sometimes there's not rules. But either Drake is a deadbeat dad or he's hiding this child with money, but it's not both.
Do you think that if he is hiding the child, that is not in some form It's not some form of dereliction.
Look, as two men without children, I don't know that we should be the authorities on fatherhood.
So you think.
So we think, yeah.
I don't know what you got in Florida.
You are hiding a child.
What do you got in Florida, Joe?
Not a child.
Are you sure?
I have zero.
Karen, has Joe asked for any raises recently? Has he asked for any advances?
Anyway, I don't have any children. We don't have to get into this.
I take your point. Right. I do think that said, if you are a parent, it does seem slightly disingenuous to not be like, I am so proud of my child.
Yes. So the other thing that Push gets at, which is sort of deeper down, is, well, he claims to know the name of the child, Adonis, which you can see on a cake at Sophie's baby shower,
right? Allegedly. On her, was it on her Instagram or
it was on her Instagram at some point? No longer is. The name of the child is Adonis, which maybe is a reference to Creed, the Michael B. Jordan movie where Apollo's son's name is Adonis. Look, there's a layer, as I said, layers. But also, Push is implying that Drake was planning to announce the existence of this child via his new Adidas sneaker line, which would be called Adidon, which is the name of the song. Allegedly, that is the name of Drake's forthcoming Adidas line. Again, this goes the way back to Kanye.
And again, to sidebar on this, I can only imagine and maybe have some understanding of tension, low-key, between Drake and Kanye.
Yes, which has always existed.
So Kanye, for many, many years, openly coveted a Nike deal, a Jordan deal. Nike only gave him a couple of Yeezys before saying, we will not support your vision. That's what sent him to Adidas. And then conveniently, down the line, Jordan does a deal with OVO. There's clothing, got a nice little track jacket. There's a few different OVO Jordan collaborative sneakers, while Kanye is over inventing new silhouettes at Adidas. And now some of the gossip in the fashion industry is that Drake is on his way to Adidas and that perhaps there will be tension in the Adidas building between the people who are tasked to work on Kanye's project and the people who are tasked to work on Drake's product.
So, you know, so when I'm sort of thinking like a reporter and sleuthing for who's telling what in this, mm-hmm. I think that there are possibly some sources
in
the Adidas camp that are, you know, maybe spilling information one way or the other. Again, I don't know this. This is all speculation.
Or maybe it's just straight up coming from Kanye. Like maybe it's what Kanye is being told and Kanye is filtering it to Push.
Sure. So, you know, I think the way that it was really interesting last night watching the consensus form around this song on mm-hmm. Twitter.
It's been a lot of weird consensus. Yeah. We'll get back to that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how I saw it, and then I want to know sort of how you saw it. So I was walking to the train when I found out that this song had come out. Flex was playing it on Hot 97. Couldn't get the Hot 97 app to work. Mm-hmm. Pulled up SoundCloud. It was there. I listened to it, you know, coming out of my phone speaker as I was walking to the train. And I was like, huh, this is really, it's venomous.
Yeah.
And it sort of has the content of like a hit 'em up in which, you know, Tupac made fun of sickle cell anemia mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, just there's
also, we didn't even mention the sort of the subtext of rapping over the story of OJ. Right.
The Jay-Z song, which, you know, Push had already come a little bit for Drake's blackness on Infrared when he says, you know, that he doesn't dance for white people, basically.
Right. And on this record, he talks about Drake's relationship to his Afro. Right. Yada, yada.
So, you know, I thought it was mean, but it didn't quite land as a song for me.
It reads like a recitation.
Yes. Yeah. So I was like, huh, you know, Drake obviously has the advantage in terms of songwriting over someone like Pusha T. And, you know, so I thought maybe it would be a little bit thuddy. Like he definitely got his
bars
off.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if it was going to be unanimous. And then as the hours went by, and crucially, this is where this comes back, and the memes start picking up.
Yeah.
Drake has made himself so memeable that it just spun right back at him. Mm-hmm. Not only is he, you know, on the throne, he's without a doubt the, you know, the most popular rapper of the moment. So people are sort of ready to see him get taken down a peg. But also between the secret baby, between the blackface photos, between the Dennis Graham stuff, the stuff about Drake's dad, like it was just so ripe. Pusha really latched on to, I think, Drake's meme ability and flipped it back on him. And that's, I think that that helped.
Strategic by design.
Yes, by design. Yeah. And I think that that helped the, and there was these Easter eggs, right? Like the story of Adidon, no one really knew what that was in reference to. And it took a while for that to trickle out, right? So this is like the geniusification of rap beefs. In the same way you had to Google who Virginia Williams is, like you had to put together these sort of pieces about Adonis and Adidas and Drake's baby and who this woman was. And I think that you could see, you know, because it was so fun to engage with this stuff, you could sort of see the tide popular opinion moving in Pusha's favor.
Okay, but slight counterpoint.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think that's completely plausible and fair in terms of how this song's effectiveness spread. But in the same way that Eminem was always very good at getting out in front of anything you can use against him, Drake's persistent presence in the meme ecosystem, he's already been the subject of dozens and hundreds and thousands of memes that are anti-Drake, but they are all pro-Drake.
But they were usually things that he put out into the world.
Yeah, of course, even if they were used against him. But this is sort of the essence of memeing in celebrity culture. Because what a meme does in celebrity culture is it basically gives over authority to a fan or a hater and says, you create the content. You're in charge. You're in charge of me. But you are also advertising on my behalf. Drake has been a person who, obviously, dating back to Hotline Bling and pre-Hotline Bling, and certainly with the Meek Mill beef, understood the power of handing over some of that authority. So while I understand that him being on the receiving end of negative memes inspired by this record is obviously an L in some way, I would also argue it's a continuation of a thing not only that Drake started, but that also Drake has been a victim of for many, many years at this point, and has existed in a universe where he is both the star and the victim. And so this may tilt more towards the victim or the negative subject, but I'm not sure if it radically changes the overall Drake ecosystem.
I think the fact that the baby thing is what seems to have the most legs out of
baby
this
as in disc. Child, not baby as in Birdman.
Excuse me. Yes. I think the existence of Adonis allegedly. Yeah. I think that is because Drake has always been the most controlled, right? And this is something that's out of his control. It existed on the internet a little bit. It was on Bossip. It was on TMZ. But it hadn't crossed over into the
widespread
conventional wisdom.
Understanding about Drake. Yep.
And I think it's been since the existence of Quentin Miller that someone has been able to pull something into Drake's world that he didn't put there first. Now, I will say, you mentioned Eminem sort of preemptively, you know, the 8 Mile school of rap beef, which is, you know, saying all the things that somebody can say about you. So I think Drake tried that a little bit here. I think, A, on Duppy Freestyle, he mentions the signed Pusha T microphone that he bought on eBay.
Which is a great early part of the Drake story.
Mythology, right? And he sort of turns it back around on Push, and he basically neutralizes that as a thing. Because if he didn't say that, Push would have
be
said,
like, you bought my mic.
You bought my microphone on eBay. You loved me so much, right? So, and I think he also sort of maybe tried to do that with the baby thing by releasing I'm Upset, in which the verses are all about paying child support and women coming after him for his money and saying, you know, that they're having his baby, basically. And I can't tell if that tipped Push off and it was, and he was like, oh this is a weak spot. And then he went to the Google.
Or maybe if he already knew.
Or if he already
He heard whispers that Push was asking around or Push's people were asking around.
So it's possible Drake tried to preempt it, but it wasn't.
But that song is, I mean, that song was done.
It was done. And Drake, and I think this is another crucial thing, is that Drake has rapped a lot about paternity tests in the past.
Sure.
Including after this baby was allegedly born. He raps about it on Diplomatic Immunity. Yeah. He raps about it on 30 for 30 Freestyle.
He raps about getting women pregnant or the specter of pregnancy. Yes, you know, like Drake, I feel like one of the signature mid-period Drake themes is the fear of having a child with someone.
Yes.
of being both responsible for a child and also basically having given over the Drake essence,
right?
The quintessence,
right.
To a woman.
Yes, the sauce, as he puts it,
the drip
in diplomatic community.
Yes. We're recording this now. It's 8 p.m. in Times Square.
Yeah. What's the score right now in this beef? And what do you think we can expect in the coming days?
I mean, we're going to instantly be irrelevant the minute we start doing this. Okay. I think generally speaking, if we're putting numbers on it, I'm going to say if we're going to do boxing rules where someone has to get a 10
round.
Yeah. But no, someone got to get a 10.
Okay.
I'll say it's push 10, Drake 8, push 10, Drake 9, just off those two songs.
Not counting infrared.
The infrared is, that's just birds. Infrared's a pretense.
Right.
I mean, it's easily, no one's going to be like, yo, that's the hardest anti-Drake bar ever.
Right.
So it doesn't count.
Right.
So I think boxing rules, push 10, Drake 8 or 9. The only thing that could possibly change that is at a certain point, if you realize that Push's deep amoral streak in this song is actually just a bit too far.
Right.
But like I think at this moment,
mean.
But I mean, we're talking about, I mean, you want to talk about the history of this. Right. I mean, you know, let's talk about Jay-Z and Nas. Yes. Talking about More in Common, yes. More in Carmen.
Some
I mean,
of
this
the
is
meanest stuff.
Just horrible.
So mean that Jay's mom made him apologize
for it. So, you know, these are, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're bad. But I think on the whole, Drake did a thing where he got in his feelings and went through the catalog of all the things that he was upset about at Push's boss.
Yep.
Push, as you mentioned before, went to journalism school and dug up all the dirt. He
right.
FOIA'd Drake.
Right.
And that, I think that wounds.
So I think here's where I said, I think Drake, as we know with the Meek stuff, has been through this before, right? Yes. I think Duppy is the charged up of this beef, and I think
there's a back to back
saving
coming.
Up. I think he knew that this could go rounds if we're, you know, going to continue this boxing metaphor. I think Push did as well. I think Push baited Drake with infrared. I think he knew he had mean stuff to say, and I think crucially, he did not mention Rihanna yet.
Okay, so
he didn't mention a lot of things.
Let's talk about it. So Push didn't mention that, but you know what Drake didn't mention? Drake didn't mention Push's entire crew going to jail.
Right. So I think they both are holding a lot of cards still.
Like, is Drake going to come through? Like, when he came through in the Meek thing, talking about AR Ab.
Yeah.
Like, is Drake going to come through with, like, the name of some super in the cut 90s Virginia Beach hustler?
Right.
Like, is that what's coming?
I think it's possible. I think, you know, I think Rihanna still has to be thrown into this. I think, as you say, Push only he only skimmed the surface of Push's sort of like search for relevance, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, him being old. He does call him old at one point.
Wait, does that mean I'm old?
Look, I'm not going to get into this with you right now. We'll talk about this.
I just want to say someone earlier today told me like I look like I use La Mer.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think we could still get a Wayne verse out of all this because he's really
because
he's really the genesis of this. I think.
Well, now that the Rockets are out of the finals,
yeah.
I mean, I guess yeah. He has time.
You know, I think Drake could rap over a Clips beat. I think there's just so much that could.
God.
Yet to happen.
All right,
but
Kanye has a record coming.
And Kanye has an album coming.
One of many reasons why we rush this out is because some of us have to spend the next 72 hours of their lives orienting themselves around the whims of Kanye West.
So you know, I think this is fun. You know, as mean as the Pusha diss is, I don't think the Drake one is nearly as mean. But it still seems like sport, right? It doesn't seem.
This is,
the,
I,
when
a
he
little,
called into Breakfast Club this morning, he was in such a good mood.
Of course. Well,
I know. Because he won.
I think Pusha may be an approachable dude, but I think Pusha is genuinely more
heartless.
Comfortable with darkness than Drake is.
Right. I think that's right. But I also feel like, you know, this doesn't feel like it could ever slip into real violence.
I think it's going to get ugly.
You think it's going to get uglier?
I think it either stops now. And everybody just sort of pats each other on the back and say, "Ah, oh, that was a laugh." But I think if it goes like one more round, like we're gonna be back here in a week, like genuinely with Kleenex.
I don't know. I think it's all in good fun. I'm really enjoying it. you seem to be more
agonized.
Agonized over this.
I am more agonized over it.
The tweets have been funny.
A lot of good tweets.
A lot of good memes. You know, I'm here for it.
I do want to say, in the same way that when Drake was talking about Ye and talking about father had to stretch out his hands, and that Drake opens it so casually with the so, the way Pusha opens the story of Adidon, I found really disrespectful. Drug dealing aside, ghostwriting aside, let's have a heart-to-heart about your pride.
See, I thought that's, both of them backed into this. I think they both could have used an edit. I would have chopped off the lead.
No, but see, here's the thing. I'll tell you why I like this. Because, again, to circle back to kind of like Pusha in 2018, Pusha is a big bro in search of a little bro. And that Hall of Daytona is, there's no target. I mean, there's no real target. Everyone is the target, but there's no real target. And finally, Pusha is just like fixated. It's like after like 6 months of just randomly shooting things, now he has a laser pointer on somebody's head. And to say to Drake, like, let's have a heart to heart about your pride. Like, that's something you say to like your mentee. That's something you say. That's like what you say to the intern. You know what I mean? Like, that's not nice. What do you want to go out?
I want to hear if you know, you know. I think, you know, it's Pusha's day. Drake will be back. You know, I have no doubt that there'll be another song from Drake, but it's Pusha's day. Daytona is a good album. Let's listen to it. If you know, you know.
Pulling up in that new toy, the wrist on that boy, rock star like Pink Floyd, waving at rude boy, I'm waving at you boy, ran off on the plug too like True Goy, imagine me dude boy, you could never do what I do boy, still ducking shit that I did boy, in Paris for hit boy, these ain't
that's our show, our hastily recorded but enthusiastically produced show. Thank you to Joe Coscarelli for staying in Times Square well into the dinner hour to be here with me. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. You can email us your feelings on any beef in rap history and punk history.
What's your favorite history. Beef in rap history, just as we're leaving?
Favorite in terms of it made the best music, or favorite in terms of people just disagreeing with each other?
No, just what was most fun for you to live through? Dad.
I literally, you don't care. You just wanted to call
no,
me
I
old.
I really want to know.
You just wanted to call me old.
I really want
to
know.
You just wanted to call me old. If you admit that you just wanted to call me old, I'll tell you the answer.
I swear. It was a sincere question.
Can I tell you a sort of off-brand beef?
Yeah.
That I honestly found really sad?
Mm-hmm.
When Paul Wall and Chamillionaire stopped getting along, first of all, get your
this
mind.
This is why I asked the question.
Yeah, get your
I
mind.
Knew you'd have an answer like this.
Get Your Mind Correct is possibly one of the 50 best rap albums of all time. All time. It is a phenomenal record. It's phenomenal in its raw form. It's phenomenal in its chopped and screwed form. It is a tremendous record. And that was an incredibly taxing time for Houston. And Paul Wall and Chamillionaire got pulled apart. Pulled into different directions. And I don't think any music that came out of that particular moment was particularly interesting, but it was a heart. It was true emotional beef. And that always made me
and
sad.
And this one is not.
No, this is not.
This is
business.
Yeah, it's business.
This is business. That
anyway,
was true emotional.
This is why I asked. Finish the outro.
Email me your feelings on Get Your Mind Correct at podcast@nytimes.com. And subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content. That's Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, I guess. Wherever podcasts are, we are in those places. Our producers this week, first of all, on the phone, it's Pedro Rosado from Head Stepper Media. But more crucially, in the chair at 8:12 p.m. on Wednesday, May 30th in Times Square, New York, it's Matt Patrol, Karen Gans, your pop music editor in the New York Times and sometime producer. Hey, Joe, did you know Karen went to film school?
I heard.
I was a modern culture and media film major.
Film major at Brown. Our very educated editor, Karen Gantz.
That sounds like a scam. Whatever you just said, that major sounds like a scam. That's our show. We will be back next week.